Welcome and good morning. This is the first of a planned two shiurim on the topic of Grama Binizakin, Grama and Garmi. I'm hopeful that we'll be able to use today more for theory, and then in the second shiur, blend of theory and practice. But we'll see. It depends on just, you know, how far we get in today's shiur. On the one hand, this year it took me a very long time to prepare. It was something that, I went through an awful lot. And on the other hand, honestly, it ended up being a lot simpler than I expected in terms of the result, which is a good sign. I think that's usually a good thing. But we'll see. And you'll be the judge of how simple or not simple it is. You see at the top of the source sheet, I gave you a table. This is mostly the table of cases that I had sent out with the Maor Makomos earlier in the week. I added a couple, adjusted a little bit, and I filled in what I think the sugya ends up with as the halacha. It's just meant as a resource. We're not reading it out. But as I said to you when I sent out the Maor Makomos initially, I feel like in order to understand anything about where the Rishonim, Achronim, Poskim are going with this, you need to have a basic familiarity with all the cases, because they're all, flying around with the, like that Tosfos on Chaf Beis Amud Beis, which we're going to come back to. Five cases are this way and three cases are that way, and what's the difference between them? If you don't know the cases, you're completely lost and just, sort of pretending, smiling and nodding while Tosfos is talking. So that's the idea, is then, to give that kind of reference. But all of this begins with our Gemara, Chaf Beis Amud Beis, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. And I brought it again in source Aleph on the sheet, just as a reminder. We started off with the ladder that you put up, and now there's an animal that's able to jump from the ladder off to get to the other fellow's dovecot. And the Gemara says there, I skipped the beginning of it, Zimnin de Bahadi de Manach le Yasa b'chor v'chav v'kavtza, that you put the ladder out and the animal just leaps out and uses the ladder. So that's a problem, and therefore you shouldn't be leaving your ladder there, to which the Gemara says, v'agramahu, but it's an indirect thing. You didn't make that happen. It's not, you didn't throw the animal into the dovecot. And so Amrav Tui Bar Masnai bolded it, Zos Omeris Grama Binizakin Aser. This teaches us that you're not allowed to engage in an action which could indirectly lead to harm to somebody else. Even though it is just grumma, and I'm not willing to say that you're liable financially, nonetheless, you're not allowed to do it. And then the Gemara brings the illustration, which we've talked about already before, with Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef has the palm trees, and the bloodletters are sitting underneath the palm trees, and ravens come along to eat the blood from the bloodletting, and then they go up into the tree, and they damage the dates. And Rabbi Yosef says, get those ravens out of here. We've talked about what it was that bothered Rabbi Yosef when I did my substitute Giri Dileshir. I'm not going back into that right now. But the conclusion is the statement, again, Rav Tuvi Bar Masna, Grama Binizakin, Usser. You're not allowed to do things that will indirectly lead to harm for others. By the way, since we mentioned bloodletting, I should note that, God willing, it's on Family Day, Monday the 21st. We have a Yarchei Kala here in the morning, but there is also a blood drive. And that's Le'ilui Nishmas, in memory of Bat Sheva Yara, Zichrona Livracha, at the Bayit. You do need to sign up. Open until 2 o'clock, so you can learn here for the Yarchei Kala. I hope you'll be here. I should also mention that. We have the Yarchei Kala that morning with individually wrapped breakfasts. So please, let us know if you can be here that morning. And then after that, you can go and save lives at the blood drive. So please do both. If you have any further questions about the blood drive, you can ask Rabbi Yaris after shir. If you have any questions about the Yarchei Kala, ask Rabbi Mann. He's going to be giving the shir on noisy neighbors in Halacha. If you didn't follow it when we did it in shir on Friday, you can now have an opportunity to get it at the Yarchei Kala. But back to our show. We're talking about this issue of grama. And the questions I want to address are, first of all, as a general rule, we say somebody is patur for grama. You're not responsible to pay for damages that you cause indirectly. So what exactly is the nature, then, of this iser? What's this prohibition against causing harm? I'd also like to know we say, and we're going to discuss this, that Tosfos that I mentioned, that you're chayav for garmi, which is some other form of indirect harm, or maybe not, maybe it's the same form of indirect harm. Why would I be chayav for causing indirect harm, right? I mean, when you think about it, if you're going to institute anything, whether it's an isser or financial liability, for causing indirect harm, ein l'davar sof. We cause people indirect harm all the time. Like, how far is that going to go? I am walking down the street and I block somebody's view of a sign, and as a result, they got a ticket because they parked in the wrong spot, because in the moment that they looked up, they didn't see the sign. Now, you say that's absurd. Why in the world would you be Noob, that's grammar. You know, especially if I stood there in front of the sign. But that's another story. How far are you willing to go? And how do we distinguish between cases where you're chayev and cases where you're potter? If grama is potter and garmi is chayev, what's that about? So let's start with the question of the isser of grama, bichlal. I want to give credit where credit is due. On a drive, I listened to a shir by Rav Yochum Kenigsberg on YU Torah. He was giving shir on Bava Kama, and that provided me with some thoughts that end up being helpful here. So first of all, I'm going to start off with a question that, like many questions I have found this year, starts with something that Daniel Shanis and I discussed. And that is, I would think you should be liable for grama, midin bor. Meaning, in Bava Kama we have arba avos nizikin. One of those avos nizikin is bor. What is bor, the most basic form of bor? I dug a hole, right? Bor, thank you. I dug a hole and somebody fell in it. What is that if not grama? Right? Or associated cases of bor. I left a bag on the floor and somebody trips on it. Right? I'm chayav for bor. Why is that not a case of grama? The truth is, the Pesach Choshen makes that point. If you take a look at source base, Rav Bloy writes, Hamazik eschavero o mamono. You damage somebody else, either their person or their property. Even though you don't benefit from what you did, you still have to pay for it. Specifically, if you do that with your body or with your force, but if you do it via grama, you're potter. Unless there's garmi, which again we have to come back to. And then in the footnote, he says the following. He says, we find in the Rishonim, and this is what I said to you, we find in the Rishonim, I don't know which Rishonim he's referring to, I looked, I didn't find them, but he says, we find in the Rishonim that Nizke Bor are in fact grama. It's just that the Torah says, you're chayev for them even though they're grama. V'lama lo nelef mibor l'chayev grama. So we should deduce from bor that you're chayev for grama altogether. And he says the Tshuvas Achiezer of Chaim Ozer Sover Sha'akum Chayev Grama Vayim Bedvarav, etc., which I didn't see as applying and answering our question. What would you say? Why isn't all grama bor? Yeah, not that. Good. So that's what I came to, Zabar Shekivanti. The only thought that I have that might be able to help on this is that in a boar case, your mamon is involved in causing the harm. If you remember the Gemara, the beginning of Bava Kama, when it asks about the differences between each of the avos nizikin, it defines boar as mamoncha, right? That's one of the key items. It has to be your property. And I think that fits with the Ramban in Kuntres Dinei Degarmi. Kuntres Dinei Degarmi, for those who have been living under a rock, is from the Ramban's commentary to Bava Basra, the end of his commentary to Bava Basra. It is a fantastic resource on grama garmi, its application in various cases. It also is a little bit like he put a target on his back, because once he wrote that, everybody immediately has to disagree with him about grama and garmi. Nonetheless, this paragraph that I brought you in Source Gimel, he's talking about the case of Mechitzas HaKerem Shenifritza, one of the cases that we've dealt with, where I have a vineyard, and there's property next door, and there are vegetables growing next door, and the fence that is around my vineyard gets a hole in it. And now that's going to create a kilayim situation, so I am supposed to close the fence. If in the event that I do not, that I say, eh, just leave it, so that's grama. I am now causing harm because I'm creating kilayim. So the Ramban writes, Su'ika le'medok, hechi shamina mahamas nisa dedanina dina degarmi. He says, I am not clear on how you can learn garmi liability from the case of mechitzas hakerem. By the way, for those who are looking at the chart, it is, where was it? It's definitely on there. The,
six from the bottom.
Oh, failure to fix the fence around a vineyard. Right, thank you. Bavakama dakuf. So Rabbi Meir there says chayav, because he says we do garmi. And Ramban says, I don't think the vineyard case is a garmi case. You can't prove garmi liability based on the vineyard. Why? Hamamono hu da'azik. Because it's your property that caused the harm. Shagafanim shalo, hem shahochanim isarvanim tvasar shachavero. Because your grapevines are the ones that are going out and blending with the neighbor's grain. Va'ostrenosa, and they prohibit it. And he goes on. But the point is that, as Natan said, he says it's not a grama garmi. It's your property, your physical property that is causing the harm. So that's room to distinguish. I saw a Piske Rid on Bava Kama Nun Gimel Amud Aleph that I thought might feed into this idea as well. I do have to admit that I have one problem with this distinction, and that is the Gemara I brought you in Source Dalet, Bava Kama Dav Chav Ches Amud Aleph. This is another case. This is a boar case. You have a jug of water. Breaks in Rishus Harabim. Somebody comes along and slips. You didn't clean up the water. Somebody slips on the water or is hurt by the pottery. Chayav, you're liable. Rabbi Yudomer b'miskavin chayav, b'ne miskavin potter. Rabbi Yudis is not so fast. It depends on what your intent was. But on that, the Gemara says, Amri Yudomer Rav. Loshanu elishatinfu kelav bamayim. When we say you're liable if somebody slips, that's only if your clothing got damaged by the water. Your clothing got dirty. Avalhu atzmo patur. But if all that happened was you slipped on the puddle and you fell, then the guy's patur. Karka olam hizikaso. It's the karka olam, the ground, that actually hurt. And if you take that hurt the person, if you take a look at Rashi there, in source, hey, this is my problem, Rashi hizikaso, umamono shel zeh grama be'alma aved lei. His property did a grama, and therefore you are putter. If Natan and I are right, that when it's mamono, that's boar, and if you're telling me that is different from grama, now I have mamono doing grama. I don't know. The truth is, I'm wondering, maybe that's fine. Maybe that's entirely consistent. Right. Sorry?
A reservoir is not the
right. It's doing the nezek. It's not doing the grama. Right. Right. I think you're right. I think you're right with the chiluk. I think you're right. I think this is not a problem. I think our svara still holds. Bottom line, no one is willing to say that the gzeres hakasuv of boar is going to extend to grama. This whole issue is made more complicated by the fact that we don't say for grama patur. We actually say, in certain cases explicitly, is that pater bidei adam. Take a look, please, in source vav on your sheet. And I tried to distinguish in the chart that I made to show where they say this and where they don't. Hanosin samamavas lefnei behemas chavero. You put poison in front of somebody else's animal. Pater midinei adam v'chayav bidinei shamayim. So your potter, in terms of what a court is going to do, what a beis din is going to do, your chayav bedinei shamayim. Now, in other cases, we do not make any such distinction. If you take a look at Sor Zion, another of the grama cases, shisa boas hakelim, shisa boas hanachash, you sick a dog on somebody else, you sick a snake on somebody else, just as potter. Doesn't say potter bedinei adam chayav bedinei shamayim, just as potter, flat. Nonetheless, everybody seems to say that it applies to all cases. I brought you the Aruch HaShulchan as an example from Shin Pei Vav. He says, Klal gadol tzarech ladas, da'afo pishe grama ben izakan pater midinei adam, mitzavim shiiz baru, even though you're pater for grama, mikomakom asr la'asos gain, v'chayev bedinei shamayim. And he doesn't distinguish some yes, some no, and that's not just him. That's I think, pretty muskim. I think that's generally agreed. So now I want to know, what does that mean? Number one, if I'm really not liable for grama, why is it an isser? Two, what is this business of chayav b'dinei shamayim? What is that about? So three views of what it means to be chayav b'dinei shamayim for grama. The first view is the Me'iri. And the Me'iri writes, it's in source Tess, Kol shekasavnu alav kan shu chayav b'dinei shamayim perusho shu chayav bo behi shavon. When we say chayav, what we mean is you have to pay it back. You really do. It is on you to do so. And as far as an isser is concerned, absolutely, you're not allowed to do this. It generates a liability. It's just that in terms of giving it back, that's separate. He says, I have news for you. You injure somebody else with grama, you can't be an aid. Because you still have this. You have this outstanding obligation. You go to renew your driver's license, they're going to say, hey, you have to pay this first. He says, since you're responsible to repay it, it's theft. You're a thief. Not you. But the person who engages in harming others via grama, Beis Din may not collect it. However, he's going to be, he has a duty to pay it back. That is the most radical of the three views. That this is really, it's really an obligation, it's just that Beis Din's hands are tied. Second view is that there's no chiyuv, but you need to for kapara. There's a Tosefta in Shavuos, in Source Yud. This will be familiar to you if you saw the cases in our Gemara, because this is one of those that you saw in the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua with his Dalet Devarim, right? Rabbi Yeshua has his list of four things. The bending somebody over so that the fire gets them, not testifying when you know testimony, hiring false edim. What was the other one? Those were the two, three, and four. What was the first one? All right, look back on the sheet. That's what sheets are for. The opening the fence to let the neighbor's animal out of it. So the Tosefta says in Source Yud, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Arba ein chayavin l'shali min hadin, ve'ein min hashemayim mochlan ad sheyishalmu. Rabbi Yeshua says there are four parties who are not obligated legally to pay, but you should know Hashem is not going to forgive you until you pay it. Rashi sounds like this as well. If you take a look at Source Yud Beis, Rashi and Gittin Daf Nun Gimel, also dealing with a grama case, says Chayav B'dinei Shamayim Pur Onus L'Shalem L'Rishoyim Sheniskavim L'Hafsid Es Yisrael. How dare you harm somebody else? There is punishment that is waiting. So that's what Chayav B'dinei Shamayim means. This is not simply a bank statement. You know, you owe somebody such and such. Rather, this is your neshama talking. You have a duty to atone for what you caused. You know, it sort of reminds me of a discussion that we had in an earlier shiur about liability, where you hire somebody to do a job and then they get hurt doing the job, right? Remember the discussion? You have a shaliach, and the shaliach, like a courier or whatever, and he gets hurt. And we said there's no liability for you, letter of the law. Nonetheless, there's a need for kapara. For having caused that, that's what this sounds like. I would present a third view that I think seems most likely here. There are two kinds of chayav b'dinei shamayim. It isn't a one size fits all. There is chayav b'dinei shamayim, which is actually you're supposed to be paying. It's just Beis Din can't get you for it. And then there's chayav b'dinei shamayim, which is really just kapara. In general, I'm talking now when Chayav B'dinei Shamayim is used all over Shas, all over Halacha. And Grama is really in the latter category. Grama is really in the Kapara category. In some cases, there, you know, you have a chiyuv, but Basin lacks the ability to carry it out. And in other cases, not so. And I think you see this in the Yam Shel Shlomo. Yam Shel Shlomo is in source Yud Gimel. You see it there. The Yam Shel Shlomo in Bava Kama Perek Vav. This is also brought in the Shach and Choshen Mishpat Chaf Ches Beis. And what he says is that in some cases of Chaya B'dinei Shamayim, we say, Tafas lo mafkinan minei. That means, you have two parties. Let's name them Reuven and Shimon, because I'm feeling creative today. So, Reuven is suing Shimon and Beis Din for something that Shimon caused via Grama. Shimon says, too bad, it was Grama. Beis Din can't do anything. Beis Din says, he's right. Reuven walks out of Beis Din, goes to Shimon's house before Shimon gets home, and grabs his gold watch, and says, okay, Beis Din couldn't do anything, but I did. If it's Chaya B'dinei Shamayim, the rule is, Tafas, in the event that Shimon grabs Reuven's watch, Lo Mafkina Mine, we don't take it out away from him. Just like Beis Din wasn't able to get him paid in the first place, Beis Din also cannot halt him from taking that which he was really owed. Take a look at the Yam Shel Shlomo, Venira. Whenever we say Chaya B'dinei Shamayim, itafas mafkinan minei. He says, if you say Chaya B'dinei Shamayim, the rule is you can't get away with that. The rule is that we remove it. Afilu leperish Rashi shepirish beperak asochar esapolim gabechosim par v'dashpa shepater bekimle bederaba minei. Vafilu achi chayav latzis idei shamayim. I realize that I said too much. I need to explain that a little bit more. The deal is this. Pater B'dinei Adam. This goes back to what I said before. There are different categories of cases. So Pater B'dinei Adam can mean Beis Din has his hands tied, because what you did wrong does not rise to the level of demanding collection of money. And that's, you know, again, what we've already seen, at least in some sources, regarding Grama. However, sometimes Patur midine adam is because there is a technical legal obstruction to collecting from you, such as in the case the Yam Shel Shlomo is dealing with, kimle b'derabe mine. You did something, right? Let's say you shot an arrow at somebody on Shabbos, tore through their clothing, and it killed them. So, because we are busy with concern, or didn't kill them, because that's a whole other thing, but you caused a malacha de oraisa. So because we are concerned right now with the issue of chiyuv misa, capital punishment, we're not also going to collect for having torn the clothing. That's kimle b'derabe mine. We give you the greater of the two punishments. But you really deserve the other one. It's just that Beis Din, because of a technicality, isn't able to do anything about it. So that's what the Yam Shel Shlomo is talking about. He says, don't bring me proof from Rashi in Bav Metzia Tzadi Aleph, where he says that in a case of Kimle B'derabe Mine, Hecha Shetafas HaNizak Lo Mafkina Mine, there we say, if the victim claims the payment, we're not removing it from him. He says, that's a different story, because there, the guy had a chiyuv. It's just that Beis Din couldn't do anything about it. He says, on the other hand, when you're dealing with Grama, that's not so. It's not that there was a chiyuv on you. It's that what you did wasn't nice, and there may be repercussions for it, but it's not the, it's not at the level to mandate that Beis Din do that. That's correct. That's the idea. This reminds me of a discussion that we had a couple of years ago. 2-3 years ago, some of you were here, when we talked about issues of taromes, right, where parties trick each other in a financial transaction, and the rule is that the victim, ein lo alav ela taromes, can only complain. That's all he can do. So we discussed in those shiurim what exactly taromes means. But take a look at the Prisha that I brought you in source Yudalid, where the Prisha says, he's dealing with a case in which somebody rents somebody else's field to work the field with a promise that he's going to pay some of the proceeds to the owner of the field. And and then he doesn't work the field. He didn't work the field. So in such a case, or the other way around, the field isn't eligible for use. There's something wrong with the field. And he talks about the possibility of taromes there. But in the end of the line, the part that I wanted to bring you is the part that I bolded. If you want to get out of the taromes, you have to make him happy. Why? It's just a kapara issue. We want you to get kapara. It's not a true financial obligation. To borrow from another shiur that we had a couple of years ago, we talked about the issue of lifnim mishuras hadin. And Rashi understood that lifnim mishuras hadin is really, really extreme. He applied it in many, many cases, and I brought you the Rashi here as an example of it in Tezayin, but I'm going to skip it in favor of the Rashi and source Yudzayin. I'm not using that Rashi yet. Hang in there. But the point is that Rashi says, I have an obligation to go lifnim mishuras hadin, even in a case where there is no possible verdict against me at all, where I have no obligation whatsoever. I'll give you the case. The classic case where this comes up is Bava Metzia da Pei Gimel Amud Aleph. Right? You remember the story? The story of the porters? Right? There's an Amora. There are different editions of that to decide which Amora it is. Rabbi Bar Hanan, whoever it was, who hired porters to carry his wine, and the porters smashed the barrels. They're careless. Whatever happened, that's its own discussion in the sugya, but they broke the barrels. And he says, I'm not paying you. And they say, you bet you are. And they go to Rav, or again, different Amoraim in the story, they go to Rav, and Rav says, yeah, he grabs their cloaks, is the first part of the story. He grabs their cloaks as payment for his wine. They go to Rav and complain, and Rav says, you have to give them back their cloaks. Why? Because the pasuk in Mishlei, Leman Telech B'Derech Tovim, you have to go do good things. And then they say, you know, we're really hungry. We're starving. He should pay us. And Rav says, pay up. And he says, what are you talking about? Why? And he gives him the end of the pasuk in Mishlei in order to demand that they should pay. And Rashi there says, that's lifnim mishuras hadin. Even though they have zero claim on you, letter of the law, there's no reason whatsoever. They didn't do the job. Elahefech, they were mazik you. Nonetheless, this is what you do on a higher moral level. As opposed to the Kimle B'Derabamine case, where I brought you Rashi and Source Yud Zayin that the Amshul Shlomo referred to before, where Rashi says Tfisa works because that's a case in which you have a Chiyuv Tashlum and you have an obligation to pay. It's just Beis Din is not able to claim it from you. That's a different story. The distinction reminds me of, to go further with this idea from Livnim Yishuas Hadin, Tosfos in Bava Metzia Chav Dalet Amud Beis. Tosfos there writes, if you take a look at Source Yud Ches, Tosfos says, Ulakaman beso perak ha'umnin. He gives you that story of the porters. Maisi kra harina. He says, you know, I'm bothered. Tosfos here says, the usual pasuk for lifnim mishuras hadin is vodata lahem asaderech yelchu baves hamaseh asher yasun in Parshas Yisro, when we're talking about the judges and Moshe and teaching the people the path they're supposed to engage in. The Gemara of Metzia Daf Lam, it says that's how you know lifnim mishuras hadin, because of that Gemara. So Tosfos says, why is it that when you have the story with the porters, they don't bring you the pasuk from Parshas Yisro? Why are you bringing Mishlei? So Tosfos says, the lekamam b'sof perak ha'umnin ma'isi kura achrin l'man telech v'derech tov m'shumi derech kabbalah v'shavik kura da'asher ya'asun shumi divrei Torah. Why are you bringing me Mishlei instead of bringing me Parshas Yisro? V'yesh lomar delo ma'isi kura da'asher ya'asun el b'makum sha'acherim chayavin v'hu patur. He says, the answer is, because lifnim mishuras hadin, as drawn from the pasuk in Parshas Yisro, only applies where there actually is something which other people will be chayiv to pay, and you have a technical reason why you're exempt. You understand why I'm bringing this in? It fits in very, very nicely with this whole Yam Shel Shlomo and this whole distinction. There are two kinds of cases in which you're chayiv b'dinei shamayim. One kind of case is the case where there is a claim, but you have a technical exemption. And the other type is where there's no claim against you at all. It's just a kapara thing. And if you want to see more on this, I'm not going to read it aloud because it's already almost 11 o'clock, but I brought you Rav Avram Sherman as well as Rav Cook in sources Yates and Chaf that talk about this as well, in terms of the question of whether lifnim mishuras hadin is more din or more chesed. You could look at Lifnim Mishuras Hadin as saying, the law won't require it of me, but I do have a chiyuv. Or you could look at it as something more broad and more like chesed. You follow? Okay, that wasn't too much of a tangent? Okay. The Dvar Avram, the Kavna Rav, uses this same concept to explain Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav Amid Aleph, the fellow who is Kovesh Eduso, the fellow who does not testify, right? That was on our list from Yav Yeshua of the Dalad Devarim. So the Gemara there said that in the event that there are two Edim, to whatever it is, then it's obvious that you, not testifying, are Chayav B'dinei Shemayim, since you have a biblical mitzvah to testify, right? If, take Reuven and Shimon again, right? Reuven stole from Shimon. There are two Edim to that effect. It's really, really important that we get those two Edim to testify. If one of them refuses to testify, he has shot Shimon's ability to collect the stolen goods. So that's what you see in the Gemara in Bava Kama. So the Dvar Avram asks a question. You try to extrapolate from there that in general one is Chayav B'dinei Shamayim. Take a look at the Dvar Avram. Chasos Chavalef. My parchinon ilema betray pshita de oraisim lo yagid v'nasavo no. In that Gemara, the Gemara says, if you're going to tell me that the case in which you didn't testify is a case in which there are two edim, then in that case, it's obvious that you are liable to pay because, after all, you have a pasuk im lo yagid v'nasavo no. That's what the Gemara says. So the Dvar Avram says, how does im lo yagid v'nasavo no mean that you have to pay anything? That just means you violated an iser de oraisa by not paying. That's all it means. That only tells me you violated an iser. How do you know that that means that I am going to be obligated to pay? Maybe it's just an iser. So he says, if he wanted to just pay Shimon instead of testifying, so Shimon doesn't lose any money, and not to testify, then he hasn't violated im lo yagid. As I bolded, when he pays, he makes up for the iser. So, in other words, the chayav b'dinei shamayim means you violated an iser by causing harm, and you have to do kapara by paying. So the upshot of what we've said in the first half hour is, the chiyuv bidei shamayim in a case of grama can be one of two things. Either, like the me'iri, it's a chiyuv to pay, and this is true in general for chiyuv bidei shamayim, or it can mean it's just for kapara and there is no chiyuv to pay. This is like that Rashi, the Amshel Shlomo, and therefore itafas lomafkina mine, and I think that's the way we paskin. We don't paskin like that me'iri. I brought you the Pisrei Choshen in Source Chavez, who says, "B'makom she'eno chayev ela midinei shamayim, yesh omrim shafilu tafas motziin miyado." Where you're not chayev, other than midinei shamayim, some say afilu tafas motziin miyado. That would fit with it being kapara. If you look there and you look at the footnote, he brings the discussion there. For more on this issue, if you want to see the Rivash Tshuva Shin Sadi Beis, as well as the Ketzos HaChoshen in Choshen Mishpat Chaf Ches Aleph, they both have more to this point. Based on that, you could suggest, and this is what leads us into our next part, that Gorem Nezek LaChaveiro isn't really a form of Nezek at all. Right? Grumma is not really a form of Nezek. It's that you caused somebody else's suffering, which is why there's a need for kapara. You caused somebody else to suffer. But it's not, strictly speaking, a form of Nezek, which leads to our next question. So what is this Garmi category, such that there are cases of Grumma where I will, in fact, be held liable? Why am I going to ever be held liable? Everyone clear on where we are so far? Yes, Michael. Yes. Because we use the word nizakin? Well, it's not been nizakin, it's been nizakin. That matters. I'm not just being annoying. Well, I may be being annoying also. That's grama. Right, no, nizakin means those who are harmed. In other words, somebody was harmed. Right. Right. Somebody was hurt. That's clear. The question is, if I indirectly caused somebody to be hurt, does that mean I performed an act of nezek, or is nezek a term that we reserve for a direct action against somebody else? That's what I'm saying. That it was... Right. Somebody got hurt, but I didn't necessarily hurt them. So, right. To a certain extent, this is a semantic conversation a little bit, like who cares whether I use one term or another, but I find it to be important from a clarification perspective to say there is this category of direct harm that we call nezek, and grumma isn't it. That's really what I'm trying to say here. It's bad enough that we are going to say, you know, chaya b'dinei shamayim. It's bad enough that we're going to say usur, but it's not bad enough that we're going to say, and if this guy grabs money from you, you can't get it back from him. That far we're not going to go. So why is one liable for garmi? What is this that Rabbi Meir is foisting on all of us? Then Rabba, whatever, fine. So if you take a look at Source Chav Gimel, I skipped the main body of the Tosfos where he brings you a whole bunch of cases of grumma for which you are putter, and jumping to where he says, hey, wait a minute, then why is grumma different? He says, ha-ha-mashma, here, and in all these cases he brings, de grumma b'nizakin de putter, and so too bavakama chavav, and so too, v'yesh li teintam, maishna kohani midina de garmi. Why are these different from the case of garmi? Why is it specifically he's dealing with the case of the money changer, right? If you saw the money changer case, the case in which somebody's going to buy something and he's given a coin, and a guy says, I want to check and make sure that this is, you know, a valid coin. He goes to the money changer says, this is good, and he accepts it, and lo and behold, it turns out to be no good. And now his buyer is gone, and he's stuck with a useless coin. And that's where we say, you're liable for garmi. Depending a little bit on some of the rules of professional malpractice, which I may come back to next week. But the question is, why is it that you're putter for grumma and chaya for garmi? So I really like, as I said in the email with the Maror Makomos, I really like the Mordechai's conclusion. If you take a look at Source Chav Dalet, he says, he brings you the different views and he says, I don't get it. I don't really follow all these distinctions between the cases. The Gamri, Gimgame Barobachi Lukim. He says, I have news for you. The Ri, who Tosos brings, who offers two distinctions, he didn't either. Lachen Kitzarti. So he says, I'm not gonna keep on going. I'm just gonna tell you that I don't understand. I like an honest Rishon. So there is a view that Rashi believes that Grumma and Garmi are the same. Grumma and Garmi are the same. But it's an unsustainable view. The view that Rashi says this is based on Rashi in our sugya. If you take a look at, I brought it for you in Source Chaf Hey, on the line in our Gemara where we say Grumma b'nizakin aser, says Vafilu manda amar delo doyin dina de garmi. Even according to the view that we do not do garmi, upater milishalem, and you don't have to pay. Now I added in the words in brackets, and they matter a great deal. According to the view that we do not punish for garmi, and that one is putter for paying for garmi, aser ligrom, you're still not allowed to be goreim. Even though you are putter for garmi, you are still not allowed to be goreim. Uchshabalahamid grama lahazik chaveru ma'akev. And when you are going to do that, when you're going to set up your bloodletting or your whatever it is that's causing harm, the guy is able to protest and say, don't do it. That's my simple read of Rashi. Okay? Again, this has to be read carefully. Rashi says, even if you believe that you're putter for garmi, it's still usher to do grumma. The reason I stress this is because Ramban reads Rashi differently. Ramban says, if you look at Source Chavav, Kasav Rashi Zal, Vafil Aman de lo doyen dina de garmi, even if you don't do garmi, upater milishalem I added in the words in brackets, Bishvil Grama. Even if you don't do Garmi, and therefore you don't have to pay even for Grama, Aser hu ligrom, .. Vizesha kasav afil lamant lodoen dina de Garmi, ain't onachon. And Ramban says, Rashi's wrong. De bein lamant lodoen dina de Garmi, bein lamant lodoen dina de Garmi, Grama binizakin patur. Ramban says, it's not about what you hold regarding Garmi. Everybody agrees, Grama binizakin patur. Why did Rashi link it only to somebody who says that you're patur milashalim for Grama? Everybody believes. Why did Rashi say that it's only the one who doesn't do? Let me say it outside. Why did Rashi say that it's only if you don't punish for Garmi that say you're patur for Grama? Everybody agrees you're patur for Grama. Even if you have to pay for Garmi, you're patur for Grama. You follow? You see the different read. So Ramban says, I'll tell you why. Because Rashi thinks Grama and Garmi are the same thing. He says Rashi believes they are the same thing. That there is no difference. That's his point. Rashi thinks that either you don't judge Garmi and you say putter for Grama, or you judge Garmi and you are chaya for Grama. That's the way Ramban reads Rashi. You're putter for everything, or you're chaya for everything. That's the way that he reads it, and he bases it also on Rashi and Bava Kamma and Hamad Beis. When Rabbi Yeshua brings his four cases, not testifying, hiring false edim, that whole business. So Rashi writes, you see it in Chav Zayin, when Rabbi Yeshua says, putter midine adam, for all three things, kasavar grama binizakin putter. That's because Rabbi Yeshua thinks that Grama is Potter. So Ramban says, wait, everybody thinks that, but not Rashi. As far as Ramban is concerned, Rashi believes you are Chayav for Grama and Garmi, or you are Potter for Grama and Garmi. There is no daylight in between them. Honestly, I was reading an article from Eliezer Berkovitz in, I forget what it's called, but I wrote it down in my notes. Something like Hegiata Higayon Bahalacha. Something similar to that. Let me see if I wrote it down. Yeah, Tarata Higayon Bahalacha. In which he points out the word Garmi, just linguistically, is just the plural of Grama. Like, from a linguistic perspective, there really is no difference between the two. So Ramban says, I think Rashi believes that Grama and Garmi are the same, and either you're chaya for both or you're putter for both. However, this is extremely difficult to sustain, this read of Rashi. First of all, and this Rabbi Koenigsberg in the shir that I listened to from him made that point, how far are you going to go? Does that mean that according to the ones who say you're chaya for Dina de Garmi, you're chaya for every imaginable Grama? Like, where's, you know, Ela Dover South? I'm liable now because I blocked the guy's view of the sign and therefore he parked there and therefore he got a ticket? Like, how far reasonably can you go with this? That's one problem. The second problem, and then I'll take your question. The second problem is, we've said in the Gemara, putter for so many Grama cases and chaya for Garmi. It's all over the Gemara. So the Yamshel Shlomo says this cannot be a correct read of Rashi. He says in Source Chav Ches, the Share Le Mare, he's talking about the Ramban, may his master forgive him, Sheyomer al pek kodo, Sheta betzura deshmaisa bago, demuchuk lahedya, de garmi chayov, ukvar yodua shagroma binizakim potter lakule yama. He says it just can't be. You can't read Rashi that way. And you know, the Yamshel Shlomo knows who the Ramban is, who he's disagreeing with. But You can't read Rashi that way. Daniel, you have to be loud since you're... Oh, you're on the Zoom. Okay, great. Okay.
But if Rashi holds that you're both Isaac and you have the cast, and that's also the first problem, let's say a person is just walking by a sign, he's down to block the sign so the person doesn't realize the sign, but maybe any Isaac function that can be fired.
Right. So in order for you to say what you're saying... What you would have to say, if I'm following you correctly, is that Rashi believes that you're putter for Grama, that you're really putter for Garmi, and it's just that there are unique cases in which, in other words, like the Ritzba. But that's not the way Ramban takes Rashi. He has the Ritzvah, but he isn't applying that to Rashi. He's saying that Rashi believes either you're Chayav down the line or you're Potter down the line. That's the way I understood what Ramban did, and it's not just me, it's Marshall, who takes him that way. So the bottom line is you can't say that Rashi believes that. So what is it about Garmi that makes one liable? What is the difference between Grumma and Garmi? So the first view is that there's an inherent difference. Both of them are Nezek, in some sense, whatever we want to call Nezek, you know, in our term. But they're fundamentally different from each other. And by default, we're going to assume that this is on a De'oraisa level. Your chiyuv for Garmi is going to be a De'oraisa. We're going to come back next week, it looks like, to that and change that. But right now, we're assuming it's De'oraisa. So we start out with the Ri in our Tosfos in Bava Basra. Take a look at Source Chaf Tes, please. V'chilek Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Lashon Echad Didina de Garmi Chayav, Hainu She'osehu Atzmo Hezek L'mamon Chavero. The Ri gave one difference. He said in the Garmi case, you yourself are the one who causes harm to the other's property, or to the other person, I suppose. And what we mean by that, as explained in other Rishonim, is that you're the only goreim. You're the only one who did it. It's from what you did. That's number one. Number two, he says, ve'od chilek, didina degarmi dechayev, hainu mishas maisa sheba hahezek. Meaning, the nezek begins immediately after your action. It wasn't time delayed. So, that's odd. First of all, why should immediacy matter? This isn't a giri delay discussion. Rav Jared took care of giri delay. Why should time matter at all? But number two, Tosfos continues to say, I don't understand at all. One of the cases we saw, the case in Sanhedrin, involves a dayan who makes a mistake. You have a judge, judges a case, gets it wrong, the parties act on that, and as a result, incur a loss. So you declare that something was tame when in fact it was tahor. On that basis, the party took it and mixed it in with his tame stuff, and as a result, or he even got rid of it altogether, and as a result, he took a loss. A whole bunch of possible cases. Again, we may come back to that next week. But the point is, actually, the case I was thinking of was the opposite, right? The Dayan declared it Tahor when it was really Tamei, and then he mixed it in with his other stuff, was Metamei everything unknowingly, and then found out it was Tamei, and now everything is ruined. That's the case. So he says, V'alko kasha, tiras ha-tamei, u'balabayis atzmo irvan imperosav, v'yamai chayov. Why are you liable? Why is the judge liable in such a case, according to the Ri's standard? Duhu atzmo eino ose hezek b'mamon chavero. He wasn't the one who did it, right? He was the one whose words triggered it, yes. But in terms of calling him the sole cause of the event, it's the guy who mixed it in with his produce that actually physically made it tamei. And further, v'gambo ose shoshamata reino boha hezek. When you actually declared it to be tahor, nothing happened. This could have happened a week later. There's no immediacy whatsoever to it. So this is a very difficult standard, as Tosfos himself notes. The Rosh, in his Perush on Bava Basra, as well as Bava Kama, and the Ramban in Kudras Dina de Garmi, give a different standard. They use the phrase, Bari Hezekah. Bari Hezekah means the harm is clear. The harm is certain. And they give us two criteria. Criteria number one is like what the Ri said, that you are the one who did the deed. And criteria number two is that the danger is clearly going to happen. So we drop immediacy. There's no need for it to be immediate. But the danger is clearly going to happen. That's Bari Hezekah. Take a look at the Rush in Source Lamed. On our Gemara, he says, "V'yesh l'chalek." You could provide the following distinction between Grama and Garmi. D'chol hecha dehu ba'atzmo oseh ha'hezek l'mamon chaveru u'bari hezekra mikri dina de'garmi v'chayev. Where he himself causes the harm to the other guy's property, that's called Bari Hezeka, and you're going to be Chayev. And of course, I know you're sitting there thinking, but what are you going to do about the Dayan? I know, we have a problem. But keep on reading the Rush. Sorev Shtar. I burned somebody else's Shtar, which memorialized a debt. The debt still exists. I just burned the Shtar. O mochel, I should say. Or alternatively, I sold the Shtar to somebody else, and then I was mochel the Shtar. I was mochel the debt. So he has a piece of paper, but it's, you know, useless. Hu ba'atzmo mazgo chavero. So then I myself am harming the other guy's property. V'chein maradino l'shulchani, and the same thing in the money changer case. Kiva mesha amar lo shutov, hu poter es hanos nolo. Because when I say this coin is good, I exempt the person who gave it to him from having to provide another coin. And so too in the case where you show somebody's property to a gangster, such that the gangster is going to come along and take the property, bari hezeka, the harm is clear. He says, when you show the gangster the property, we know exactly how this movie is going to end. We know that the guy is going to take it. So I stopped there because I wanted to just make sure to point out he has given us a second standard. His first standard is hu ba'atzmo osah hezek, you yourself did it. And then the second is that it's guaranteed that this is what is going to happen. Ramban says it in source Lamed Aleph more clearly. V'zeh atam l'chol elu. This is the reason. Klal gadol yeh b'yadcha. Here's your rule. Kol ha-goreim. Anybody who is goreim, who causes it. Umachmas garmaso ba-hezek shi efsher ela ba-oso hezek. And as a result of that, there is a damage which could not be avoided. It's guaranteed because of what you did. Ve'eno talui b'das acherim. And it's not about somebody else intervening to cause it. It's your action. That's your second criterion. Ela b'shah shagaram b'ha hezek oshahu asid lavo. Right now it'll come, or later. Kegon zeh chiyev Rabbi Meir v'nikra b'gemara bari hezeka. That's what we call bari hezeka. And then he goes to our case of the Dayan. Lefichach, therefore, dunes hadin, ledivrei ha'omer ein machzirin. He says, the case in which you in fact gave a wrong verdict, and we're saying now that they don't reverse it, Chayev, you are Chayev. Why? Did me idna de Omar ishploni ata Chayev in his Chayev l'shalei mamon val piv shileim? He's dealing with a case in which it wasn't Tuma and Tahara, but rather you gave the wrong answer in a financial case. From the moment when you said, Ploni, you're Chayev, you know he's paying based on what you say. Mehahi hai shaita hu de garam hanezek. You caused the harm the moment you gave the verdict. Even though he paid later, Kevin Shadin Chiyavo L'Shalim Mamon V'Akorchom B'Shalim Hadayan Hu Agorein Misha Shechiyavo. He says that's my answer to Tosfos. My answer to Tosfos is it doesn't have to be immediate, and the party who paid up is not an agent in it because the harm happened in the first place. The harm happened the moment you gave the verdict. It didn't happen later on. Everything else is just the ball rolling down the hill. That's the way that Ramban answers the Dayan case. Honestly, the standard that the Rush and the Ramban give is such a nice standard that I was really tempted to say that's what the Re meant in the first place. However, the Yamshel Shlomo doesn't think so. In source Lamed Beis, when he brings you the discussion here, he quotes you the Re and he quotes you the Rush, and then he adds in the Re's explanation. Well, you see it. He said he quotes you the Re and the Rush. That it's where you do it yourself. The Nezek, right? Ubari Hezeka hu anikra dina degarmi. V'od chilek ri. And then separate from the Rush, he says, and the ri also added, hecha de b'sha'as maisa nasa ha-hezek. That it's immediate. So he clearly doesn't think that the ri is on the same page as the Rush and the Ramban. He thinks the immediacy from the ri is really its own thing. Yes, for Jared. Correct.
The Rush doesn't answer that.
Because he still says, but that doesn't. No, but he does, because what he says, Can you turn off your speaker? What the Rush doesn't say it, the Ramban says it, is that the nezek happens the moment you are mechayev him to pay. That's really the nezek. It's not when he is ma'ariv.
So it's his speech.
Yes.
His speech. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what you were saying.
Oh. Okay. So him and the Ramban. Okay. They good. So, question then. Classic case. You dropped the item off of the building, and then you race down and remove the cushions, and therefore the item smashed, right? And we say, you're putter, in such a case. When you dropped the item, there were cushions in the way, right? And Daniel gave me the engineer's explanation for how in the world this happens, right? Because I'm bothered, because I learned in school that this thing is accelerating 9.8 meters per second per second. Like, how in the world are you getting down there fast enough? And the answer is, as he said, it happened on the moon. No, the answer that he gave is that it's on a ramp. So it's zigzagging down the ramp, and you're able to get to the bottom in time. So however you read this, why are you putter in this case? Right? It seems to satisfy Ramban's criteria. You are the one who caused it, and the moment you remove the cushions, the harm is clearly going to happen. Why is it that you're putter? So the Rush answers that it's because you have to act on the guf hamamon. You have to act on the physical item itself. Removing the cushions isn't an action on the item. That's how the Rush, deals with it. The Ramban says, no, you are chayav. Ramban says, of course you're chayav. The Gemara that said you're patur was only within Rabba's view. Rabba doesn't do garmi. So don't bring me any answers from there. That's what he says, and you see it in the riff in the Nimuke Yosef as well. The riff, if you take a look at, right, did I bring it? Yeah. The riff says in source Lama Gimel, Vama Rabba, Zara Klima Rosh Gago Bayutat of Karmukasas, right, the case with the cushions and so on. Mistabra Lun, the last Hilchas of Ahakaraba. Yeah, because we don't follow Rabba. Mishum Desvira Lake, Lo Dainina, Dina de Garmi. He doesn't believe in Garmi. So the Nimuke Yosef says that's because the Rif believes in Bari Hazeka. There's a whole discussion to be had about that. But that's the idea. One last note on this point, and I think that's where we're going to start to wrap things up. But one last note on this is that the Shach has a different answer on the Dayan case. Take a look at the Shach in source Lamed Dalet. He goes to the discussion of the Dayan, and he ends up saying that that no, this is actually a mistake. He says the halacha is the Dayan is Potter. If you read through the Shach, you'll see he talks about the case. What if the judge was really not learned and was not accepted by the litigants? I'm just looking at it. It's 11:28. I'm not going to race through the shach now. You can see the bottom line if you like. The bottom line is the shach believes that this is actually a mistake and the dayan is potter in that case. And that's an easy way to solve the problem. So the upshot of what we said today is, number one, the isser of grumma. Comes with a chiyuv bidei shamayim, even though pater midinei adam. The Meiri believes that you actually are chayiv to pay. It's just the Beis Din isn't going to demand it of you, but like a person is pasul edus and so on. We saw that it's more complicated than that, and it depends a lot on where you're talking about chayiv bidinei shamayim. In issues of grama, as opposed to like the kim lebe derabamine case, you're going to be chayav only as kapara. That's really what it is. And I compared it to the discussion regarding lefnim bishuras hadin and taromes and other cases in which there is a duty to pay for kapara, but not letter of the law. Why is one liable for garmi when one is pater for grama? So what we have seen right now is the idea that Rashi actually believes if you're chayav for one, you're chayav for the other. There is no distinction to be drawn. It's very difficult to sustain. And then we saw the view number one among the mainstream views, which is that you actually are chayav for garmi mideoraisa because, according to the Ri, the Gorim is the only one involved and the harm is immediate, or according to the Rosh and the Ramban, it's about Bari Hezeka, you caused it, and it was a guaranteed result of what you did. So God willing, next time we're going to come back to discuss the second view, which is that this is a Knas, and a third view that this is actually an Isser Derabanan. And then maybe from that, either we'll continue on the Svara part if I decide there isn't enough time for us to do like a practical, or we'll get into practical, maybe we'll do some malpractice discussions, because that is one of the main applications of Garmi, Bizman Hazeh. Okay, thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos. Ephraim, good to see you.